to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Hello, Dolphin fans, and thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily. I'm your host, Stephen Masso, on this Thursday, September the 26th. Now, guys, in this episode, we're going to be going over some of the things I saw in the last game and how I hope that could affect the games in the future, and especially this game against the Los Angeles Chargers. And then we're also going to be discussing whether the Dolphins' first overall pick is really in jeopardy with some of these other bad teams around the league. And then we're also going to be discussing some of my expectations and how I think the game against the Chargers is going to play out. So we begin with what we saw in the game against the Dallas Cowboys. And frankly, I discussed being happy with the small victories, and in Josh Rosen's start, I will say there were a ton of more of these small victories to look at as a Dolphins fan as compared to when Ryan Fitzpatrick was at the helm of this team. So that's one of the things that I was looking forward to, and if you've listened to me for a while, you might be tired of hearing this, but I really thought that if Josh Rosen was the quarterback, this would put some of the younger guys in a better position to develop, to look better, to get more valuable reps, because with Ryan Fitzpatrick, there was absolutely nothing going. And I think we can all agree that in this last game against the Dallas Cowboys, though the outcome was a loss, and I know a lot of people actually prefer that, these reps, especially on the offensive side of the ball, looked a lot better, and this is going to help get these younger guys develop more. It's going to help get the scheme in place, and that's something that I was really happy to see. So in the game against the New England Patriots, what I saw and took away from that one was that Brian Flores was able to adapt defensively, and they looked a lot more prepared in the first half of that game against the Patriots. Now, against this game against the Dallas Cowboys, we saw that, at least I thought, from the offensive side of the ball. The offense looked abysmal in the game against the Patriots, but then they came out in this game against the Cowboys, and though there were still a bunch of mistakes that really held the offense back, it still looked vastly improved, and it showed me that Brian Flores was able to adapt and improve on the offensive side of the ball. So we saw the offensive side improve, we saw the defensive side improve, but what we have yet to see is some sort of sustainability throughout the duration of an entire game. Through all four quarters, we have yet to see that. In the last game against the Cowboys, they looked really good in the first half, almost to the point where it was kind of like, hey, do they have a chance at winning this? But then the Dallas Cowboys adjusted at halftime. The Miami Dolphins did not. They came out looking lethargic in the second half. So what I'm expecting to see, or what I'm hoping to see in a way, is some sort of improvement throughout the duration of a game. And I know that's not what people want to hear, especially if they want the team to lose and tank. I understand 100% where you're coming from. I don't think just based on a talent level, even if they improve through four quarters, they would necessarily be out there winning games against teams like the Los Angeles Chargers. But what I will say is that if they could just improve throughout the duration of a game, then I think it could really get these guys' confidence up, and it will really help them improve in the long run of the season. Now, that kind of segues me into the next point, that are the Dolphins playing too well to the point where they're jeopardizing that first overall pick? And are there teams around the NFL that are really making a push at getting this first overall pick? Like, are there worse teams in the NFL than the Dolphins? And the simple answer to that, and it pains me to say it, is no. I mean, there is a reason that the media and everyone is saying that this is one of the worst teams historically, and that is statistics, that is facts. Those are numbers that I cannot sway with my opinion. You know, maybe the eye test will fail you, but statistically, on paper, historically, this is one of the worst starts in NFL history to a team, if not the worst. In most cases, it is the worst. So to say that there are other teams really that are in this same category, I think is a little bit of an exaggeration and possibly an overreaction at this point in the season. Because I do think the Dolphins roster right now is really, really weak. And this is at the beginning of the season. I mean, there are still plenty of games left to be played. A lot of injuries could happen. And I kind of want to discuss this, and I'll put it in a really basic format. I know there's a ton of more things that go into a game in terms of scheme, coaching, and all that. But just from a player perspective, from the build of a roster, and this is, again, really watered down, but just the basics in my eyes, is that, let's say hypothetically, a really good team, perfect scheme, all that, their roster has a star player at a position, Behind that, they have a solid player as a backup who could hold the fort down if there was an injury or if he needs to come in. And then other situations, they have a liability as their backup. Other teams, they have the solid player and they have the liability. And then other teams, they have a scattered handful of liabilities on the team, but they still have a majority of sound players at positions, and they really don't see those liabilities too often until the injuries start hitting. Well, now we have the Miami Dolphins, who it isn't a stretch to say that the majority of the roster, at least on paper, is a lot of liabilities, and we haven't even reached the point of the season where the depth of a team is needed. We have not seen really those injuries yet, and the possibility of Miami making more trades, of course, is on the horizon. So I think that is one huge reason, and it will really separate this Dolphins team from some of the other ones when it comes to showing who is the worst team in the NFL, because the Dolphins, frankly, right now have a ton of liabilities. A lot of players, as Young Mayo said, and I referenced it in the last episode, there are a ton of players here that wouldn't be starting on other teams, and would be a stretch to say that some of them would even be second stringers, and we have them starting here. So once those guys start going down, just imagine what would be happening at that point. And that is why, in my eyes, I'm not really thinking that a lot of these other bad teams right now are really a true competition to the worst team in the NFL, that first overall pick for the Dolphins. And again, I'm not getting any thrill out of saying this. It's just how I'm looking at it. And for me to be biased and say that the Dolphins have a great team right now, feel like I would lose all credibility saying so. So that is one of the reasons why I think the Dolphins have still a very strong hold on that first overall pick. Now, another reason why I know a lot of people are pointing to other teams across the league. I mean, you have the Redskins in the mix, you have the Steelers, the Jets, and just for a moment, the Jets, this was supposed to be their turnaround year. You know, they went out and made a splash in free agency. They landed Le'Veon Bell, they landed CJ Mosley, Trumaine Johnson. And then here they are offensively doing just almost as bad as the Dolphins. It's really a shock to see. So I just want to throw a little jab at the Jets right there. But why I think they're not a real true threat to this first overall pick, teams like that, is because, again, they have this depth and they have this star power that I think people are really underestimating on a lot of these teams. I mean, you look at the Steelers. I mean, sure, they lost Big Ben. Putting Mason Rudolph out there is a huge task for him. And if he's a bad quarterback, that could affect the team substantially. But they have some great guys on the offensive line. They have DeCastro. They have Villanueva on the offensive line. They got Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner, who were both terrific last season. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they added Minka. They added Devin Bush this year. They have Joe Hayden. That alone is enough to get a few wins. And I don't think the Dolphins really have that much star power, even though the quarterback situation for the Steelers is pretty bad. And defensively, they do not look great either. But just, it's instances like that for all these teams that I think people are really underestimating how many key players they have. I mean, you look at the Bengals, Andy Dalton, while he's not great throughout his career, he's been a middle of the pack guy. He is someone who could definitely get a win on any given Sunday type of thing. And AJ Green right now is not on the field for the Bengals. With AJ Green last year, the Bengals were 5-3. Without him, they were 1-7. The offense revolves around him. When he returns, whether it's week 8 or week 10, the team will look better and should be able to get him a few wins. Now, the Steelers and the Bengals play each other. Those are some wins there. So the real ones that I am looking at as other potential worst teams are the Redskins, who I think should still be able to get a few wins once Dwayne Haskins takes over. If Darius Geis returns, Terry McLaurin is playing great football out there for the Redskins. They just need to get their defense under order, and that's what was supposed to be the strong suit. So I'm not ruling out their defense as bad as they looked yet. And then the Jets, if Sam Darnold comes back, that should be enough to get him a few wins. All these factors rule into why I put those teams over the Dolphins, and why I'm not really worried that the Dolphins need to tank harder. They're doing too well. They need to absolutely throw the season and get zero wins. I just do think that a lot of people are underestimating and maybe overreacting with just how bad some of these teams are. And don't get me wrong, one or two of these teams will probably end up being pretty bad. But just right now, based on the lack of depth on the Miami Dolphins roster, having a new coach, I mean, you look at the Steelers, they have Tomlin and a system that has worked for years. There are just so many things that aren't aligned for the Dolphins this year that other teams have in place that could give them a slight edge. So that is why I'm not too worried about it. Now, we move on to some of the things I'm expecting in this game between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Miami Dolphins. And the first thing I'm expecting is a win for the Los Angeles Chargers. Again, I get no thrill out of saying that. That's just what I'm expecting. Something I'm looking forward to is the battle between Xavien Howard and Keenan Allen. Now, Keenan Allen, I have been a huge fan of. He's probably my favorite non-Dolphins player, and why he is that is because he is the most terrific route runner I have seen in my lifetime, or at least one of the top ones. What he's able to do with his feet, he's really slicing almost through the grass, and he is a tremendous feat for any cornerback to cover. That is no easy task. So Xavien Howard was really exposed last week by Amari Cooper, and of course that's not something you want to see when you consider this to be your franchise lockdown corner. So I'm really curious to see if Xavien Howard can step up to this challenge of guarding Keenan Allen, because frankly, there are not many in the league that could do this. This guy is tremendous. He's leading the NFL in receiving yards. So if he is able to do that, that will restore a lot of confidence in Xavien Howard. That's just a matchup I'm watching. I really do expect, though, Keenan Allen to get the upper hand, because like I've said last year plenty of times, it has seemed like these elite receivers are just too much of a task for Xavien Howard. We saw that last week with Amari Cooper. We saw it with AJ Green. We saw it with T.Y. Hilton. He really struggles with these upper tier receivers, but I am looking forward to see if he is able to prove me wrong in this game. Another thing I'm hoping to see is that Miami's ability to stop the running back. Ezekiel Elliott had a very quiet big day, and in part it was quiet because Tony Pollard, the second string running back for the Cowboys, was brought in, and then he hit the century mark as well. Well, the Chargers boast a very strong rushing attack, and I know everyone's hyped about Melvin Gordon returning, but there are a lot of guys in this Chargers offense that can thrive. Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson, these two combined have basically mirrored Melvin Gordon's production to a T. They are not scrubs by any mean, and especially Austin Eckler. The guy is terrific as a pass catching back. He is terrific in the backfield. He makes guys miss. He's elusive. He's a small guy, but he's a speedster. He looks like he got shot out of a cannon. They need to contain these guys somehow. Frankly, I'm expecting a solid day from both of them, but they need to find a way to shut down these running backs and at least make it a little bit difficult for the Chargers. That's what I'm hoping to see. Now, another thing on the offensive side of the ball for the Chargers and the defensive side that I'm looking at for Miami is how are they going to stop Mike Williams? I mean, the cornerback two position is a huge liability, and sometimes we've seen safeties placed on these guys. We saw Jamal Wiltz get absolutely torched by Antonio Brown. But Mike Williams is also a very unique threat of its own. The guy is 6'4". He's a jump ball receiver. He makes some of the most acrobatic catches in the NFL. There's a reason he was drafted so high. He is very talented. Right now, he's listed as questionable. He's dealing with a back injury. But I'm really curious to see how Miami is going to address a receiver like this. This is a very unique challenge because this is their second biggest threat. I mean, you have to deal with Keenan Allen on its own. That's its own problem over there. But who are they going to put on this big 6'4 jump ball receiver, Mike Williams? I'm really curious to see how that's going to pan out. And now on the offensive side of the ball for Miami, I'm looking at the offensive line, and that's kind of a game-to-game basis, but this is going to be a huge, massive challenge. You got Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa, some of the best at their position, that are going to be at the pocket all day. And I was extremely impressed with Josh Rosen's game last week, and mostly that was in part to his pocket presence. He isn't this Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, super athletic guy. He's not running around, but he has this internal clock, and he's able to maneuver the pocket with almost like eyes in his back of his head, that he knows the pressure's coming from his blind side. That was one of the most impressive traits from Josh Rosen in that last game. Now, this is going to be a tough challenge as well, and if we're able to see that again from Josh Rosen, what I'm expecting is the pocket to be collapsing. If we're able to see him continue to make this offense flow despite all of that, then I'm going to be extremely impressed with Josh Rosen, and it kind of perks my ears up a little bit more to this idea of, well, maybe he could be the guy. I mean, it's still hard to go against the idea of Tua. I'm still all on board for that. I still assume the Dolphins are looking at it that way. But if Josh Rosen wants to make his case that he could be the franchise quarterback, this is the perfect stage for him to do so in this game. So guys, that's how I'm going to wrap up this episode. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at ShadySteven. If you want to hear more from me, you can. That is at my podcast where I discuss the Dolphins as well as the rest of the NFL. That is at Via The Source. And remember to follow Dolphins Talk on Twitter. That is at Dolphins Talk. And if you want to stay updated on all the news about the Miami Dolphins, go to DolphinsTalk.com to stay updated on all the news about the team. So guys, that's how I'm going to wrap it up. I would love to hear you guys' thoughts. Feel free to share them. I would love to hear them. As always, though, it was a pleasure to be your host. I'm Steve Amasso, and this was your DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.